Well, hello there. Welcome to a weekend update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, hanging in there. It's raining where I'm at, and it's cloudy where you're at. But I guess it's spring, almost. As a matter of fact, this weekend, I think we turn our clocks ahead, right?
Yeah, you do that before you go to bed Saturday night, tonight, because we re-record this show on Saturday, even if it's Sunday. And if you forgot to set your clocks ahead, then you're listening late.
I had friends of mine in radio who actually were late for shifts, who were late for their air shifts. Wait, that would have been, I get them confused. If they were late for their air shift, yeah, it would be in the springtime because we set it ahead.
Yeah, so, and then they were early in the fall. And
you say, in the fall.
You're making up.
That's exactly right. In the fall, they got there an hour early. It's like, I'm ready. Oh, you got another hour yet.
Yeah, but you know, think of it this way. You know, if you were the overnight guy, you got paid for an hour, you didn't work.
Yeah, also, sometimes you worked an extra hour, too.
Yeah, well, that was earlier in the year.
That's right.
And you didn't get paid for that one.
Yeah. Oh, it's so confusing. Overnight, we used to call it the graveyard shift, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
bones. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. A lot of people I heard on mainstream media were saying, well, you know, he was dynamic and he was forceful. I'm talking about President Biden during the State of the Union. And, you know, I was listening to Dan Bongino's show yesterday, and he said, well, no one has said this, but it's important you all know that the speech that we heard the night before last was actually the same speech he did in 2023 and 2022. People said, well, you mean they paraphrased it? No, he said it was like almost word for word. I have a little clip here, Bill.
Yeah.
I want you to hear it. This will give you an idea.
Economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. To build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not from the top down. When the middle class grows, the poor have a way up and the wealthy do very well. Because when the middle class does well, the poor have a ladder up and the wealthy still do very well. We'll build a national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. We're going to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations, 10,000 new jobs. It's going to create 10,000 jobs. There's been a law on the books for almost a century to make sure taxpayers' dollars support American jobs and businesses. Buy America has been the law since 1933, but we're actually doing it. We'll buy America using federal infrastructure projects to be made in America. That we'd all agree that the present tax system ain't fair. The tax system is not fair. It is not fair. Who sit at a dining room table or a kitchen table and chairs the dining room table constantly reminding you. The only nation that can be defined by a single word, possibilities. Actually, I can define it in one word, and I mean this, possibilities. I'm a capitalist. Look, I'm a capitalist.
I mean, it goes on and on and on, and I have only one thing to say.
What's I'm that? A loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
Oh, yes, if the shoe fits, wear it, right?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, he had a, nobody talks about it, but he had a twin brother.
He did.
And actually, his real name is not Joe.
No, really?
His name is Joe. His name is Pete, and his twin is named Repeat.
Pete and Repeat. You know, in all honesty, I can see the speechwriter saying, you know, and you said this before the show started. You said, why wouldn't he use the previous State of the Unions? Because nobody listened to them either.
Yeah, I mean, there was no viewers. This time, Trump has made him, you know, Trump has actually done more to support his campaign than he has. It's kind of like Trump when he talked about, what's the guy's name from South Carolina, Tim...
Lindsey?
No, the guy that might be a VP.
I know you're talking about, yes, and I can't think of his name. Tim Scott, yes.
I mean, because, you know, Trump said, you've done more to talk about me than you have talked about yourself. Well, but Trump has to defend himself against Biden because it's the left media that keeps Biden's name out there all the time, you know, but, you know, also it's building Trump too. You know who else had a State of the Union is RFK Jr.
Yeah, I heard about that. Was it? Did you listen to it? I didn't hear it yet.
No, I just found out about it this morning, so I haven't had a chance to hear it, but I went over some of the cliff notes of it and saw that basically his State of the Union was well put together, but mm-hmm. he was we're not in the state that Joe says that we're in. We're in Crapolaville. So
well, and that, you know, you look around, right? People are amazing. I heard the crowd of Democrats applauding so wildly during the State of the Union. I
like
was thinking,
trained seals.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
For a fish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and it was some of them were screaming. Do you remember when he made the nasty remarks? He threatened the justices. If you forgot what it was, listen, listen.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you've brought about.
Now, listen to the wild lunacy on the left there, applauding him. You would think that the rock star just walked into the hall. You know, he threatened the justices. That's never been done before. They usually go as a courtesy, the justices do. And so they were seated there, and he made this remark, which literally it sounded like Chuck Schumer, you know, doing his threat, you know, about Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. But the thing is, he made it sound like the women were going to do something electorally. And I was thinking, you know, the Supreme Court justices are appointed for life. There's nothing that anybody can do. Once they're in there, they're in there, you know?
Oh, but the left is attacking the news media. And, of course, you know, they're going after Clarence Thomas. You know, they're saying, oh, well, you know, he's got taxes, and they made it sound like he's going to go to jail and he's going to do this or that. And no, it is the left asking a judge. And I read it and I was going, wait, they're not saying this is happening. They're asking a judge to do something, kind of like what happened with E. Jean Carroll. Now, Trump went ahead and said, they said, no, you've got to pay that $83 million. He goes, no, we want a new case. You got to pay the $83 million. So he went out and got a $92 million bond. Now, basically, you're securing and guaranteeing if he loses, that money will be paid. But a judge has invited E. Jean Carroll to object to his $92 million bond. In other words, no, we're not taking the bond. We want the money because they're not going to grant him another trial. Let's be honest. He doesn't have the right to appeal. He doesn't have a right to another trial. He is not given the rights of any other American citizen, or maybe any other Democrat. Yeah. Because if you're a Republican or you stand against what they call democracy, which is a sham, then you have no rights. You are not part of their country. They've taken this over. There has been, forget about the immigrants, the Democrats are the problem. They're the invasions. It's been going on for years, and now they sit there and think they could take over this nation, and they're going to do whatever they can, by God, to keep it.
Yeah, well, I think they're...
It's a rant, sorry.
You know, but no, but it's okay, Bill, because, you know, if you look around the landscape, you see all these other judges who are using lawfare, unlawfully, actually, to go after Donald Trump. And people like Trump, like Peter Navarro. You know, Peter Navarro, I can't tell you whether he's in prison yet or not. He was supposed to report like 2 weeks ago. And the thing is, he, I think, is like the first or the second Trump official they've tried to put in prison for no good reason. Navarro said that he was cloaked under executive immunity because he was a presidential advisor, and he couldn't testify in the January 6th, that sham hearing that they had with Liz Cheney and company. And so Navarro said, I can't testify. And they said, well, you have to. You're subpoenaed. He said, but I'm under presidential immunity. And a judge who was on their side said, no, you have no immunity. You're you're going to go to jail if you don't testify. He didn't do it, and he gave him 4 months in prison. But I still can't tell you if he's in prison yet or not.
Well, you know, the simple fact is words do matter. They say that words matter. Yes, they do. And it is not lawfare. Mm-hmm. It is not. It is a terroristic act. It is treason. And that's what it is. You can squirm if you want to on the left, but you are committing treason. And if you're going along with it, you're an accomplice to it.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. So... You know, I'm just saying, guys, there's a civil war brewing in this country.
Well, Letitia James went and spoke in front of a large crowd of people, and they booed her. They booed her, and she was actually shocked. She said, "No, we're in a house of the Lord here. Like, calm down." And they continued to boo her, and then they started to chant Trump, 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 and we're talking about several hundred people, and she looked surprised, and I thought to myself, it's because she lives in a cocoon. She lives in an environment of leftists who love what she did, okay? They applaud her. Social media leftists applaud her. She thinks, honestly, that everybody thinks that what she did was the right thing. You know, unlawfully going after President Trump. And I honestly think, Bill, she's surprised, she's shocked when a large group of people boo her. You know, it's not the reaction that she expected, you know, anywhere, which I thought was kind of unusual. President Biden was in Pennsylvania.
He wasn't supposed to really be here, though.
Well, he was in Pennsylvania. He was in Pennsylvania, and he said this. Listen.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Would someone tell me what the heck he's talking about? He said,
"Well, he wants.
I'm going to play it again, Bill.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land."
All right, Bill, you think you can figure that
well,
out?
Well, I can tell you what I think.
Okay.
And what I think I know.
Uh-huh.
Because I made the comment to you, and I might have made the comment on the show yesterday, that I think he was drugged up. As a matter of fact, one of the things, well, he was hopped up on what I would say would be amphetamines or maybe Adderall and a high dosage of it, because
they actually kind of alluded to that yesterday. The White House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If him to hold office, and let me just do a comparison. You know, the Nazis that they like to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, now that was invented by the Chinese. And, you know, Biden knows the Chinese very well. He doesn't like to admit it, but he does. You know, they're the ones that invented methamphetamine. You know, and a lot of what's in Adderall is basically
right.
Not the same ingredients, but the same effect, and maybe some comparison agreements. Ingredients, like when they were trying to outlaw synthetic crystal meth that's sold readily on the internet every day. You can buy crystal meth. You know, when they outlaw that version of it, the alchemists go together and say, okay, if we take out this one little drug here and replace it with this one, now it's a whole new compound and it's legal again. And so they keep going with that. But my point is, if he's on Adderall, or some form of methamphetamine to jack him up and make him seem alert and keep going, he's a drugged politician.
Yes.
So he really can't be. He's
well.
When a president has to go under the knife or under anesthesia or drugs, the vice president has to step in.
Right.
I'm saying he cannot be, if he's got to have this drug to continue all the time, then he cannot hold the office of president.
Okay. Well,
unfortunately, you got Kamala, and I don't think she is mentally capable.
Well, you know, people don't realize this. Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler was constantly high, constantly medicated.
Yes.
He was
always on it.
And you know, it affected his thinking at the end of his It affected his thinking constantly, but toward the end of his life, his decisions were all bad. I mean, he was throwing good soldiers after dead soldiers, and he was allowing his country to collapse under the weight of his ego, okay?
It sounds like Biden right now. And, you know, we made fun of Biden when he's walking. He looked like the baby with a diaper full walking. And one of the traits of somebody that's on that is they lose their incontinence. And people, and the joke around is, you don't want to be standing behind Biden when he's out, alluding that he's got a diaper full. Wow. And I'm sitting there going, this guy, Hitler, he did one of his famous Reich speeches, and he walked up and he did one word, whatever it was, and then he just had that look on his face. Mm-hmm. Holds his hand up, and the video's on YouTube out there somewhere, and you can go. You see him walk off, and you know he kind of backs out of there because he did something to himself, and he came back out with a new pair of pants on.
Well, I mean, okay. if you're constantly under medication, you don't have
it's
control.
It's going to happen.
You don't have control of all your faculties. So
no, you don't.
And here's the other thing that scares me. This should scare us all. He has control of a nuclear bomb.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, that is true. So we have rogue nukes that are loose in the United States. We have rogue nukes loose in the United States because he has control of them. And how do you know if he gives the order that it's legit or not? Now, if you second guess it and it's legit, we're screwed. If he just does a rogue thing and you should have second guessed it, and we're screwed.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, my friend, we're living in dangerous times. We have a lucid and clear-thinking Russian enemy paying full attention of what's going on in this country, and we have a foggy, deluded leader who can't get two sentences out. I'm going to play another clip of this is him yesterday in Pennsylvania.
Last night in the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th.
You hear that? I'm going to play it one more time so you can
listen again.
Last night in the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th.
Where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th. July the 6th, nothing happened on July 6th. It happened January 6th. And he's completely moved it 6 months from... The guy is just not clear-headed. I'll ask you this, especially if you're a leftist listening to the show. Would you want this man driving you any distance? I was going to say a long distance. Would you want him to drive your car? Would you want to have this guy drive your family anywhere? That guy who can't get a sentence right. Listen to another clip from yesterday.
And I've gone now. I spent over almost 200 hours with the leaders of Europe, the heads of state. I know them all. I've known them well.
Sure he does.
And guess what? You know what every one of them says to me, virtually, except Orban? I'm serious. As we leave these meetings... Well, indirectly, they grab my arm and they pull me aside. I'm serious. They pull me aside and say, "You've got to. You can't win again."
You know, I got to tell you something. This guy, whenever he says I'm serious, Bill, he's lying. Mm-hmm. Whenever he says I'm serious, he's in the middle of a lie.
He's always lying. He's lying, Joe. And you got to remember, he was born and made that way. He's lied all throughout his life. He lied in the 80s about his education, all kinds of stuff. He uses the speech impediment thing, you know, because he stutters. No, he doesn't. Go back to the old clips, and even now, he doesn't. He used that as a tool to get what he wants when it's convenient for him. He is a cheat. He is a con. Now, he says the leaders of the world... They can't believe that Trump might be leading the world again. Maybe they feel that way, maybe they don't. But let me tell you something. I have a son. He's a gamer, and he gets on, and he games, and he talks to people, not just in the United States, but in Australia, the United Kingdom, the Ukraine, everywhere, all over the world. And you know, my son's 21. But you know what they all say? How in the hell did you guys put Biden in control of the United States? And that is unanimous. And I even watched a video clip, which was kind of funny because it had, all the croonies, Psaki and Michelle, or not yeah. Michelle, but Rachel Maddow. I always want to say Michelle. Anyway, but they had her on there. But before the video starts, you know, they always roll a commercial. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was funny. Before this left tank started talking, the ad that came up was a gas cap. I was like, how appropriate. They got it right for a change. But even they couldn't help believe and laugh at Biden. But they were trying to defend him. But Psaki probably had the most relevant thing to say. Well, this sounds like Joe, the old Joe, when we were in meetings. This is how he really is, and we're probably going to see more of that, you know, because he hates Trump, and he's going to scream and holler. This is what we can expect.
Well,
and I'm like going, that is suicide.
At Trump rallies,
go ahead and do it in front of us.
At Trump rallies, we hear, hold on, I'm coming. I think at Biden rallies, we should hear this.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
But you know what? The left is his cheerleader. You know, look at the E. Jean Carroll case mm-hmm. that we talked about, you know, that the judge is going to, you know, throw out mm-hmm. his bond. I mean, what the hell is going on there? I mean, the left knows, even the media and the judges, they know that what they're doing is wrong, but yet they continue to go down the path. And then you have them, you know, people like, what's his name? Ron Paul, the transgender guy, RuPaul.
Yes. Yes.
You know, building
big
his
difference.
Compound.
Big difference.
Big difference. Yeah, I'm sorry. Ron Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. But RuPaul is sitting there building a big compound for the impending, and he believes there's going to be a civil war because the right out there is fed up with their crap.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well,
I think it's going to be the left that instigates it.
It's interesting. You said that a judge wants to throw out the... I know he put...
The bond, $92 million bond. The judge is telling E. Jean Carroll not to accept, to object to it. And she has to object to that bond. And the judge will readily say, no, you got to pay the $83 million. But we'll
take 92. This is a judge giving advice to one side. Am I right?
Yes.
As opposed to a judge being neutral, he is literally turning around to one side and saying, all right, here's what you do now so that I can reject it.
Yeah, I'm looking...
I have the story here. It says, President Trump on Friday posted a $91.6 million bond as he appeals the E. Jean Carroll judgment. The money will be returned to Trump if he wins his appeal. Judge Lewis Kaplan, a Clinton appointee on Thursday, denied Trump's second request to delay paying Carroll. But that's different. On Friday, Trump said, well, in the heck with you, I'm putting the bond up. And there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to appeal it. So, I you know what I'm saying? He denied it. This Lewis Kaplan denied it on Thursday. On Friday, Trump put the $91.6 million.
Well, here's what he said. If she objects to it, then he will automatically hear that case that day. So he's basically saying, go ahead, Carol, choose to object. Kaplan wrote he will hold a hearing on the issue that same day. So he is going to go ahead and rule in her favor since he ruled in her favor before and stacked the decks. He's not going to allow him to.
These guys are out of control.
It is a rigged system. That is
out of control.
I'm sorry,
Bill.
You sit there and say, Trump has gotten away with a lot. No, he's got away with nothing. He hasn't done anything, but you've accused him of everything.
And you have these lying Sacagawea judges who are using the law as a weapon, Mm-hmm. You know, this judge is supposed to be impartial. Unbelievable. But, you know, I do think that ultimately down the road there will be justice, and it will include some kind of justice for these corrupt judges, okay? I mean, I don't think that it'll be outside of the boundaries of law, but I do think that these guys are breaking the law, and they will pay the punishment. That, you know, I can't believe that some of these judges would throw away their legal careers for this.
Yeah. Do you remember when Joe Biden, you know, he was caught by, I believe, Sam Donaldson, you know, where he was lying about everything, and then he basically got up on the microphone and said, "Yeah, I'm a liar. I'm, you know, I did this and this and this and this and this."
He agreed.
I can't wait for the day when he comes in. I got caught. I can't wait for the day that he comes in and sings your theme song again, because I think it would be great.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
It's interesting, though. You know, do you remember, this happened 45, 50 years ago, longer, maybe 55 years ago, the late, great Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey. He did his radio program, a segment called If I Were the Devil. Okay, and I'm going to play it for you here, and then I'm going to play something else for you, which I think you'll find interesting. Listen.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the bee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flame. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography.
We're talking about 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. He's got over 600 images, gobs of video footage of these children that you say this does not signal a heinous or egregious child pornography offense. And then you went on to say the defendant was merely trying to satisfy his curiosity. That's somehow a reason to only give him 3 months. Help me understand this.
Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. I would caution against extremes.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represented extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
You know, always somebody has to try to mess around with something that's really good. That originally was just Paul Harvey without the heavy music behind it and the inserts. And it sold itself. It was just so well written and so prophetic, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody along the way, and I don't know where I got that. I mean, they thought they were doing a good job by adding the suspenseful music in the background. Unfortunately, their levels were a little hot. And
overkill, yeah. If they would have brought down the music, I could have gone with the insert. But, you know, the insert dates it. The actual. I remember in my young days, working at a station, And I kind of, you know, because I was young, I was going to Paul Harvey, oh boy, you know, and I had to record it off the network to play it back at noon, you know, because Paul Harvey coming up at noon today, you know, and we did that, but that was a timeless piece.
It was.
And
that was 1965, Bill. 1965. Yeah,
again, now, that was before my time in radio and before my time for a lot of things.
Well, before my time in radio, too, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, I was like Joe back then, walking around in a diaper. But, you know.
I was a little older, but if I was walking around in a diaper, I had some issues. But an interesting thing. An organization called the Dilley Team, Team for Trump released a new video, but it's not the video that sells it. It's the audio, and you can tell what they use to tailor their audio around. They tailored it around the piece you just heard. Listen.
If I was the deep state and I wanted to destroy America, I would rig the election with a puppet candidate. One that was so compromised that they would never say a word about it. I would create a false flag that allows for mail-in ballots. I would be in charge of the ballot counting machines. I would create a false flag to blame all who question the results of the election. If I was the deep state, I would prosecute anyone that went against me. I would sue and prosecute anyone that spoke up about the fraudulent election. I would use my powers to shut down all your internet businesses and bankrupt you. If I was the deep state, I would make everyone an example why you should never question a Democrat ever winning an election. I would imprison my foes. I would use my corrupt DAs and blackmailed judges to destroy you. I would make sure all crimes I ever committed never happened. I would prosecute my biggest competition. I would make sure they could never run for office ever again. If I was the deep state, I would convince everyone that Ukraine Nazis were good and women are men. If I was the deep state, I would own every politician that mattered. If I was the deep state, I would push my pedophilia ambitions on you. If I was the deep state, you'd question your sexual identity but not the medical establishment. If I was the deep state, you would fear to ever resist me. If I was the deep state, you would wish I was really the devil. If I was the deep state, I would say mission accomplished.
Now, again, I think the music was a little hot there, too, but the script was good and the read was good. And what they said, well, you know, if the shoe fits, right? I mean, it was right on the money. And it's, you know, they're trying to do exactly what Paul Harvey said. They're actually trying to do what Paul Harvey said. Never mind what
that
said.
Well, they paraphrased it, brought it up to date. And, you know, Paul Harvey couldn't say, if I were a Democrat back then, or whatever he, you know, whoever he was referring to, but if I were the devil, because you've got to understand, politics has really ended up being the ultimate fight between good and evil.
Yeah.
And, I mean, evil doesn't have any political bounds. It can be either or. So, but right now, the side of good is predominantly, you know, Republican, but it's people of conservative, wholesome values. Just like the Democrat in Dallas that was that's the mayor, and he sat there and said, I'm switching to Republicans. Not because he was just in love with the party, but he said, they represent the values that I grew up with, instilled by my mama and my daddy, you know. And and so he had to sit there and look at the party he was in going, I'm in the devil's church. I got to get out of this church. So he became a Republican. And that's,
you know, did you
paraphrasing
notice,
what he said. But
During the State of the Union, Biden, one of the last things he mentioned was the border. It was almost an afterthought. You would have thought it's the top of the mind for most of the American public. And yet he talked about everything but the border problem, the border situation.
If you go back and look at old Joe Biden, he was, he could articulate better. He talked fast. I did watch the lip movements, almost like, you know, he was lip syncing his old speech, but there were the mistakes in it. But I look at him, and he's always been an evil guy, but he was able to conceal it a lot more than he can now. He is an angry man. He wants things his way, and he will connive, lie, and do whatever he can to get it. And if he gets caught, he'll even sit there and go, yeah, I did that, and then go do it again. And that's what he's doing. And he's stealing, and he's lying to people. He's making promises on housing allowances and all kinds of different things. And, oh, you know, we're going to pay off your student debt. But he never gets around to it. But, you know, you see all these students going, you know, Joe, the one good thing that he's doing is that, you know, he's full of one good things to get people to go, oh, that's my issue.
Yeah.
I like him because of that. Look at the whole thing and look, what has he delivered since he's been in office? What one promise has he delivered on?
Nothing. He has not given us one decent thing since he's been in office. But he will tell you that Bidenomics is working, that he's bringing down inflation. You know, when you hear that, folks, when he says, I'm bringing down inflation, look at the facts. What he's not telling you is that he increased inflation. So yeah, he brought it way up. So if it's going down right now a little bit, it's not because, you know, he's doing something special or magical. He's only lowering what he inflated, you know. So, I mean, they don't...
So, yeah, inflation can be controlled, and they want that inflation because every issue, when you step back and look at every issue, abortion, all right, it's an issue that they can use to divide. Can the abortion issue be, you know, solved in an acceptable way for both sides of the fence? I believe it can. But, you know, as long as it's an issue, they've got a wedge to hammer into the people. And that's what they're looking for, wedges that they can hammer into us. The Green New Deal, you know, oh, the Democrats are onto that. And he's going, by 2030, we're going to be all electric. Yeah. But we're ramping up gas production cars. And if you think that he is not pandering to people, you know, his administration has, they're catering now. They're courting the labor union, its workers, you know, the auto industry. They're going to actually, just in time for the election.
Yeah, the workers.
They're going to relax tailpipe emissions before the election. Now, why would they do that?
Yeah, but they still have the push for electric cars and electric vehicles. They're just not talking about it.
No,
they're still out there.
They're offering a carrot on a stick. You know, if you ever go to a racetrack to see the horse, the dog races. You know, they have the little bunny on the thing that the dogs chase. You know, every once in a while the dog will catch it, but it doesn't happen often. And they do that because we're dogs on a track, and we're never going to catch that little thing that carrot that they're waving out in front of us. So quit looking at the stupid carrot on a stick that Joe has. He is a con, and he just wants to control you.
How true. How very true.
Chasing that carrot.
We are being sold a bill of goods, and there's not one thing that he's done that I can point to that has been for the benefit of the American people. The first thing he mentioned in the State of the Union was, hey, we got to send money to Ukraine to fight their war, $60 billion. We got to get it done. We got to get $60 billion. In the meantime, seriously, folks, we have tens of thousands of American veterans who are scraping from hand to mouth. They're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to feed their families. So many disabled. You know, I see these things on TV. I'm sure you do, too. Disabled American war veterans, wounded warriors, tunnels to towers. All of these things are wonderful organizations. I applaud them. They're terrific. But, you know, they shouldn't be necessary. They should not be necessary in a wealthy country like we live in. If you are a veteran and you lose a limb or you are disabled, this generous country should put a nice package together and make sure you never have to worry for anything again. But you know what they do? They discard the veteran for the most part. Mm-hmm. They turned their backs on them for the most part. But in the meantime, these political animals down in D.C., I got to be very careful what I say, they are fighting desperately to send $60 billion more dollars of our money over to a war that we really shouldn't even be involved with right now. That money, can you imagine what we could do with $60 billion for our veterans? For our veterans and their families who have been injured. Hey, even if you are just a veteran who has been in combat, you should get some extra consideration. You put your derriere on the line, and you had people shooting at you. I think maybe you deserve a little something more than a pat on the back and see you later. You know? I mean, that's essentially what these politicians in Washington have done. You talk about a soapbox. It's Saturday. We have a right to do that, I guess, Bill. Soapboxes are good anyway. Hey, you know, there was that Gold Star father who was he didn't demonstrate. He screamed 13 Marines, Afghanistan. His son was killed. He was one of the 13 soldiers killed. In that ridiculous, inept withdrawal from Afghanistan, you know, when the bomb went off. And the tragedy about that is there was a guard who saw the guy with the explosives. He asked permission twice from Washington. It went all the way back to Washington. Can we take this guy out? And Washington first hesitated, and then they said no. They said no. And the bomb went off and killed 13 American heroes, and I guess about over 100 civilians were killed. They don't talk about them. It's like those are chattel. Don't worry about them. They're just Afghanis. No, they were people. They were people. A lot of people died in that explosion. And you know what Joe Biden does? You know how he commemorates that event? He doesn't. He doesn't commemorate the event. You know, look at we talked about Lake and Riley down in Georgia, that poor little nursing school student who was brutally savaged and killed by an illegal who shouldn't have been here. And you know, Biden was challenged by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Say her name, and finally he picked up the badge she gave him, and he said Lincoln Riley. He said the wrong name. But it wasn't in his speech. You'll notice that, you know, you heard his speech. There was no point in the speech where he stopped and said, and recently we had a tragedy where a wonderful young woman lost her life for no good reason. And, you know, and we as Americans should pause for a moment and give thanks for people like her. I mean, he said nothing. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks to Bongino, he pointed out the fact because most of us have not paid attention to Joe in office. Let's be honest. So the State of the Union has been ignored, you know, for the past several years with him. And, you know, Bongino probably kept up with it. I never did. You know, I just looked at the other night and go, angry old man. It's terrible. And he was attacking everyone. But when you see that word for word, it's that he added in some forced paraphrases in there, you know, responding to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who can't be shouted down or be quieted. They told the Republicans to not be outrageous and be quiet in there. In specific, you know, Marjorie, which she goes, yeah, right. You know, and everyone said she marches to her own drum and stuff like that. She's a feisty woman. And feisty women, and they all know this, if they want to be heard, they will be heard. You ever had a girlfriend, guys, or a wife? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When you're wrong, when you're right, you can be wrong, and when you're wrong, you're wrong. So get ready for it. So she is very boisterous, and
she has courage too. Think for one second it's easy for somebody to confront a guy like Biden. You know, at the State of the Union, when the eyes of the world are looking at you, you know. She was wearing that Make America Great Again blazer, and she was wearing a Make America Great Again hat and a Lake and Riley T-shirt, and she handed him a button that said Lake and Riley, and he said, say her name. She said, say her name. you know, and she took, and he took the badge or the, and he just kept walking. You know, he is, he's not a, he's not, you know, people look at him like he's our old grandfather. He's no, he's not a nice guy. He wasn't a nice guy 40 years ago. I remember Biden when he was a younger senator, when he was a lying plagiarist, when he was, they interviewed him one time when he, early in his career, and the reporter who was interviewing him said, well, you know, you're not a corrupt guy, and that's good to know. And Biden laughed and said, well, I don't know whether I'm not corrupt, but thank you for saying that. He said that. He mm-hmm. said that. This guy has been at the trough, so to speak, you know, watering his horse since he got into office. He's not mm-hmm. he's not an honorable guy, and he, you know, and I do believe, by the way, that he's not there honestly. Do you know, by one more thing I wanted to mention, you know, the Steve Garvey Adam Schiff race out in Los mm-hmm. Angeles.
Yeah,
there's a story, and I haven't got it, but I saw the video. They had video in California of the numbers, and Steve Garvey on the numbers on the screen was ahead, and suddenly in the middle of it, they flipped. They mm-hmm. flipped the numbers. They made it. He didn't just lose. He didn't just suddenly have more votes added to the total. He lost just like what happened to Trump. Do you remember we were watching TV in Pennsylvania, and you, mm-hmm. and you said you had the TV set on, and mm-hmm. the numbers changed right in front of your face?
I saw it, but I wasn't videotaping, and I know that I did see videos of it afterwards, but yeah. all those videos, I believe, have been wiped offline, and I'm going, yeah. Am I delusional or not? But, you know, the fact that they got a video, you need to get that and make it go viral, yeah. because you're not election deniers. It's not fake news. The simple fact is that you saw something or you believe something. And that, my friends, is your right to sit there and say, you know, talk about what you saw or believe you saw, or talk about what you think. But if you don't do that, then, you know, you're giving in to them. Do not give in to the left. They're going to throw names at you saying you're a denier. You know, you're propagating fake news, fake yeah. news. All right, here's the evidence. Show me your evidence right there. They're going to sit there and deny everything. They talk about deniers. They are the deniers. They cast upon you their sins.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, another interesting thing. By the way, you heard they have new co-chairs of the Republican National Committee. Michael Whatley and Laura Trump are co-chairs, mm-hmm. taking the place of Rona Romney McDaniels. Did you hear about Boeing's having a lot of problems? You know, they're a very woke company now. They have been.
Mm-hmm.
They've been talking about how they are inclusive and how we're changing things so we have a diverse
year failure.
Well, they had a United Airlines Boeing 777. It was landing at LAX and it blew a tire, and I guess it had a problem. That's not the big deal, though. The one that is the big deal is passengers were evacuated from another United flight at George Bush International Airport
yeah.
on Friday morning, according to airport spokespeople. The spokespeople said everyone was evacuated safely and no injuries were reported, according to the FAA. After landing at the airport, United Airlines Flight 2477 from Memphis rolled onto the grass while exiting onto the taxiway around 8 o'clock in the morning. The passengers were deplaned. I love that word, deplaned. But what happened was one of the gears collapsed.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems that the 737 and Boeing planes are having all the problems all yeah. of a sudden. And it's kind of odd because they're not the only fleet that flies the 737, but it does seem that Boeing, you know, I mean, well, United.
Yeah.
But I'm saying Boeing right. and their 737 and some of their other planes have been under scrutiny. Now, keep in mind, these planes have been around a long time. And all of a sudden, they're having this rush and they're saying, well, they're, you know, being slapped together. But, you know, the planes, technically, by law, every 100 hours of flight, they have to be gone through. Now, is that a Boeing problem, or is that a United problem, or is this something a little bit more nefarious, an attack on a particular brand?
Well, you know, they are the biggest, most successful airline manufacturer in the world. Airbus came along as an afterthought, and it's doing very well, but Boeing was there for decades longer. The thing is, you know, it's when you have a section of the wall blow out, like what happened a few months ago with the Alaska Airlines. How would you like to be seated in your airplane at 10,000 or 12,000 feet, and all of a sudden have in a row or two in front of you a whole section of wall blow out of the airplane? And you know, and I had a guy who said, they called it a rapid depressurization. He said, no, that's not what we call it in the airline business. We call it an explosive depressurization. There's a big difference. Rapid depressurization is when a valve sticks and things, the plane depressurizes. But when you have a part of the wall of the plane blow out, that's a whole different ballgame. It's much more.
How would that happen?
And not only that, Bill. They said if it had happened, another 10,000 feet higher, that plane would have gone to smithereens. It would have been the end.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It just seems too planned. Is that the appropriate word?
I don't know how you make planes over and over and over and over again for decades, and all of a sudden. You forget to check the rivets on a section of the walls on a plane.
Well, these planes are widespread. They're in all the airline companies probably have them. So that makes you question flying. If that makes you question flying because they have that fleet, okay, you could change your fleet over. Well, that's a lot of money. Now, are they trying to put pressure on Boeing because they didn't do something or they're not going along with a certain policy, narrative, whatever. So we're going to help out Airbus. But either way, that is going to bankrupt the airlines because, we got to change all our planes now?
Well,
you know, I'm sorry, but there's something more going on here. Don't believe everything. And, you know, where is Pete? Where is Pete?
Well, Pete is, Pete's with his...
Well, he's going to find a way to find them and make it their fault.
You know, the thing is, it was missing. The Alaska Airlines plane was missing rivets. How do you miss rivets? I thought that there were people who were checking things like that. It was missing rivets.
Every 100 hours, you've got to check and inspect the structural integrity of the plane. You check the engines. You check the components, all the avionics. It has to go through. It's just like every 3,000 miles, you change your oil, and the mechanic goes and does a look at all your fluids in your car and everything and checks your tires and go, hey, you know what? Your brake pads are about an eighth of an inch away of being no good. You might want to get those done now, or you need to get them done very soon.
Thank God there was no one sitting in that row where the section blew out. A baby several rows away from where it blew out lost its hat and had to be held on to because there was a moment of suction. There was a moment of decompression that for a small person could have caused, that baby could have gone out the hole in the plane. You know, so there's something going on. I feel bad for Boeing because Boeing has got a history of making fantastic flying machines. I mean, they go back to the 20s, folks.
What big airlines are gone? Now, I'm talking about airlines. They still flew other planes, so I was thinking of TWA. But, you know, if you got Boeing that crashes, there's Lockheed out there. There's other companies. But what's going to start happening to them, and who says it won't?
Well, TWA, one of the things that led to their demise was that TWA Flight 800 in 1996, that they had a problem with that, and it blew up, and it crashed into Long Island Sound. And, they have told us that it was just a fuel tank issue that caused the problem. But there are people on the shoreline to this day, military veterans, pilots, who were on the Connecticut shoreline, who saw it go down and said, no, I saw a missile. I saw ground fire. The FBI, and you know the FBI is always to be trusted, but the FBI said, no, it was a gas fuel tank problem that caused the plane to blow up. But like I said, there were witnesses who saw what they thought was ground surface-to-air missiles fired toward that plane.
Well, look at Pan Am. I owned major stock in that. I actually owned a lot of stock in that airline. Now, I was getting ready to dump it because I was going, they had the oldest fleet out there, and they were going, we need to buy a new fleet of planes. You know, but they were well-maintained. And what happened in Lockerbie was not structurally wrong with the plane.
Right.
No, it turned out to be an altitude bomb, you know, that was placed into the plane and blew it up. Well, it blew up what at a very young age would have been a nice retirement fun for me. It went bye-bye on the ground because the stocks crashed. They went into bankruptcy. What most people didn't know is that they were at the time getting ready to buy, what was it, Northwest Airlines. Charlton Heston had stock in that and everything. And that was a company back at that time that was trading around, which doesn't sound like much, around 40, you know, $7 a share. But, you know, I would have been,
we wouldn't be talking right now.
We wouldn't be talking right now. I would have been in a whole different caliber when that went down.
Sipping Mai Tai somewhere. I know.
I would be on the beach going, yeah, have fun with you, Joe Biden, because I'm where it's safe. But, you know, I mean, and talk about, you know, but I mean,
you know,
that can happen to anybody.
And Pan Am was a, oh, Pan Am, TWA, these were gigantic airlines. When I was a young man, when I worked in New York, they have, it's near Grand Central, actually it's kind of over Grand Central, is the Pan Am building. The Pan Am building is a classic building in New York, overlooking Park Avenue and stuff like that. It is a beautiful, beautiful building, but they built it on the success of the airline. It was that successful. Mm-hmm. And to think
I think it started down in down south of Florida where you go,
Keys?
Started down there, I believe.
Well, you know,
I think there were some, or maybe it was in, I know Delta was kind of a Mississippi company, you know.
I flew on my honeymoon on Pan Am into Bermuda. I'll never forget a beautiful plane, nice crew, like you said, well maintained, clean. You would have thought that if there's an airline that should – think of the airlines that have come and gone, Eastern Airlines, Northwest, Pan American, TWA, all of them are gone. You know, Braniff, remember with the color airplanes they had, all those fancy airplanes, no longer around. Hey, listen, my friend, hey, you have a good weekend. And with a little bit of luck, it'll be a – quiet weekend and nothing major or catastrophic will happen.
Oh, don't hold your breath on that one. You know what? We'll leave you with this weird thought. Elon Musk issuing a grave warning for America. The groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9-1-1. What will that be? Maybe we'll talk about that on Monday.
Yep. Sounds good, my friend. Until then, I think you should leave us with your pear-shaped tones, with your line that only you can read so eloquently.
Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.